Welcome to North Star Church. At North Star, our desire is to lead people to follow Jesus Christ and not simply go to church, but to be the church. The following message is by Jeff Noble, lead pastor and teacher at our Blacksburg, Virginia campus. You can find more information about North Star, including recent podcasts, news, upcoming events, and so much more at northstarfamily.org. Thanks for listening, and we hope you enjoy today's message.
If you have a Bible with you, find Revelation chapter 1. I'm just teasing. No, I was joking with the first service about it. Acts chapter 3, if you would. Acts chapter 3. We're going to be in God's Word in Acts chapter 3 for a few moments this morning, and it is good to be with you all. Let me just say, man, I've been looking forward to this Sunday for several months. Thank you, Pastor Jeff and the team, for just having me. And it's so good to see you all today. And what a great service at 9 o'clock. We were able to witness a baptism. And I think you guys will probably show that at the end of the service, right? And Oliver was out there just giving testimony. Amen. How old is he, Pastor? Give or take, like 13, 14, something like that. Yeah, younger teenager, I think. And he was out there giving testimony that Jesus is his Lord. And today I want to talk with you about how there's power in the name of Jesus. Amen? There's power in the name of Jesus. It's going to be, that's kind of the sermon point of the day. You see that in Acts chapter 3. And as you're holding your place there, let me just say thank you. Thank you for your partnership in the gospel. In fact, if I wasn't here with you all today, I was going to be with a church plant that's having their first kind of public worship service today, just south of Roanoke, Virginia. So thank you for being a part of a movement of churches that's involved in planting more churches and helping to revitalize churches that are seeking the Lord again. And thank you for helping us send missionaries. Last year, over 400 new missionaries were sent to faraway places. I know you all have been praying for those that have been suffering in Turkey and Syria, for instance, and thank you for your gifts and for your prayers, because we're able to kind of come alongside each other, and we're getting resources to local partners there and have folks there on the ground. And I could go on and on and on, but I just want you to hear me say thank you today. But I also want us today to understand that we can't reach the world. We can't do missions. We can't share good news with our classmates, with our coworkers, with our neighbors, in our own strength, in our own power. And that's what you're going to see in Acts chapter 3. And when I'm here with you today and just seeing what God is doing, it reminds my wife Jennifer and I that what we've seen God do at other places as well. And I think about the church we were involved in planting and how this church has a lot of similarities to that. So we feel right at home here today. And we have three children. I'll just show you a picture here right quick. Melissa's our oldest. And then we have Mark and Jenna. Jenna's on the right there. This was at Christmas. That's Jenna on the right. She just turned 16. That's Mark. He's a junior in college. He goes to school in South Carolina. That's Melissa. And she got married last spring. And that's her husband. Watch his name on the left right there. All right. No, I just, he's a good guy. His name's Jonathan. And in fact, just before Christmas, they got a puppy. It's one of these doodle dogs, you know, like a labradoodle or something like what you call it. And so she's about 4 months old now, and we usually get several pictures. In fact, I was wondering if we were going to get something today. We got a video today. So yes, for those who are wondering, I am a granddaddy. Yes, I am. And just have a doodle dog. And I tell you, just like I've heard grandkids could be, when that dog comes to our house, she came at our house Super Bowl night, and they'll have all these pictures of her just laying around, just being all chill at their apartment. She comes into our house, and my wife can testify this. She comes to our house, she gets buck wild. It is crazy. I'm thinking, well, I'd put some Benadryl in her kibble or something like that and settle that puppy down. But anyway, so they're doing well. But when our daughter, who's now married, was 2 years old, we were planting a church. And just like this church did at one time, we were meeting in a school. And she would go to preschool in a Baptist church building, but then she was going to church in a school building. And so when she's this little toddler, she would see a Baptist church and she would say, school. And she'd see a school and she'd say, church. So it was a little messed up, you know what I'm saying? But here's what she learned early on. She learned early on something that you guys have on the wall right out there. That we don't go to church, we what? Be the church. And there's really only one way you can do that. There's only one way we can really be the church. and reach our neighbors and the nations for Christ. And that is, we can't do it in our own power. We can't do it in our own strength. It takes the power of God in and at work through us. It takes us ministering in the power of the name of Jesus Christ. I mean, when you think about the needs in this world, when you think about the lostness in this world, just take Virginia, take the state of Virginia. There are almost 9 million people living in Virginia, and our surveys show that right around 7 million of the residents of Virginia are lost. 25% of the folks that live in Virginia speak a language other than English. Then you go out and you think about the United States, over 363 million people, 350 languages, 273 million people who have no relationship with Christ. Then take the whole world. 59% of the world's population are unreached. They're unreached. 157,690 dying every day without a relationship with Jesus. The gospel task, the task of missions, the task of ministry, just the task of reaching this community, Blacksburg, Christiansburg, Virginia Tech, it could seem impossible. But loved ones, today I want us to see in Acts chapter 3 that it's possible. Because as Jesus said, all things are possible with God. You don't do this in your own strength, in your own power. Just take the Bible. Look with me, Acts chapter 3, verse 1. The Bible says, now Peter and John were going up to the temple. Now, first of all, right there, I love the fact that it's a picture of Peter and John going up together. Remember, Jesus, when he first sent the disciples out, he sent them out two by two. I'm thankful that we can come together today and you can get encouraged in the Lord, because you need to know that being a Christian, it's not a loner relationship. It is the idea that you are in fellowship with the Lord and with other believers. I'm so glad you're here today. Peter and John, they're in fellowship with one another in the Lord. They're going up to the temple for the time of prayer at 3 p.m. Some translations say about the ninth hour. That's 3:00 p.m. Verse 2, a man who was lame from birth was being carried there. Just picture this. Every single day, the Bible says he's placed each day at the temple gate called Beautiful. That's one specific location there outside the temple. A lot of traffic would come into the temple that way. It was a strategic location for him. They carry him there. Why? The Bible says, end of verse 2, so that he could beg from those entering the temple. That was just his way of life. He had no other way to eat or to have a place to live. He couldn't move on his own. He couldn't provide for himself. He was in a hopeless, helpless, powerless situation. Then look at verse 3. When he saw Peter and John about to enter the temple, he asked them for money. He asked them for alms. He's asking them for charity. And Peter, along with John, looked straight at him and they said, look at us. Look at us. So he turned to them. What's he expecting? He's expecting them to give him some money. He's expecting to get something from them. But then look at verse 6, and I highlighted this in my Bible. But Peter said, I don't have silver or gold, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and... Then the Bible says, then taking him by the right hand, he raised him up, and at once his feet and his ankles became strong. And then he jumped up and he started to walk. He never walked a day in his life, folks. And he entered the temple with them. He had never been allowed to go into the temple. A lame person wasn't allowed inside. And look at what happens. He's walking, he's leaping, he's praising God. And this is what happens. All the people saw him walking and praising God, and they recognized that he was the one who used to sit and beg at the beautiful gate of the temple. So they were filled with awe and astonishment at what had happened to him. They ministered in the name of Jesus Christ, and the power of Jesus had changed this lame man's life. And now he goes from never walking to not just walking, but he's leaping, he's jumping, he's praising God. He's gone from being outside the temple to being inside the temple. And it's all because there's power in the name of Jesus. Say that with me. There's power in the name of Jesus. That's what I want us to remember today. Let me pray for us. Father, I pray right now that the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart will be pleasing in your sight. Oh Lord God, you are my rock and redeemer. And I pray today that we will take away from this real life episode the reality that there is power in your name, Lord Jesus. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, I pray. And Lord God, I pray that you'll work in our lives today. For anyone here who does not know you personally, Lord Jesus, I pray today they would trust you and they would be saved. And I pray for believers in this room that today you would remind us once again that we don't have to live the Christian life. We don't have to do the mission of the church in our own strength, our own power, but that you want to work in and through us. So, Lord, we do indeed pray. Fill us with your Spirit. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. The story about how there was this little three-year-old whose mom brought him to the grocery store one day, and he always had this habit of asking her when he was at the store with her to get him some cookies. He just loved cookies. Like, what little kid doesn't, right? But that day, she was in a hurry. She wanted to get a few things and get in and out. She takes him. She puts him in a shopping cart. She buckles him in, and she looks at him eye to eye, and she says, listen to me, son. Today, do not ask me for any chocolate chip cookies. You're not getting any cookies today. We've got stuff at home, so don't even ask me. Do you understand, Mommy? Yes, Mommy. They had not even walked through those automatic doors until he's tugging on her sleeve saying, Mommy, Mommy, can I have some chocolate chip cookies? And she's saying, please. She's trying to ignore him. But don't you know, she has to go down the aisle where there are some crackers, and at her store, just like our store, guess what's on the cracker aisle? Cookies are on the other side of it. That's right. So they get down there. He sees the cookies. He sees a whole wall full of cookies. He's like, Mommy, Mommy, can I have some of those chocolate chip cookies? She's like, I told you already. You're not getting any chocolate chip cookies. She makes her way through the aisle. She turns out to the back hallway there of the grocery store. And right there, they have this table set up. Guess what's on sale that day? Cookies. He sees those cookies. He begins to reach over, try to grab some of those cookies for himself. She grabs his hand and says, put your hand back in the cart. I told you, you're not getting any chocolate chip cookies. Okay, Mommy. Well, she begins to make her way to the checkout. She's unloading the groceries there, and he's sitting there, and he looks, and right there, there's the packs of chewing gum, there's candy bars, and there are four packs of Chip Ahoy chocolate chip cookies. He knows this is his last opportunity. So that little boy unbuckles his seatbelt in the shopping cart. While she's not looking, he stands up in the shopping cart, lifts his hands to the heavens and says, in the name of Jesus, would somebody in here get me some chocolate chip cookies? And the story goes like this, that little boy did not leave the store that day with a package of chocolate chip cookies. He actually left with 23 packages of chocolate chip cookies because everybody and his brother was buying him chocolate chip cookies that day. So I share that with you to tell you this, that somewhere in the world is a grown man who believes there's power in the name of Jesus. Amen? So the question for us today is this, is do we as the church of the Lord Jesus, do we really believe there's power in the name of Jesus? Just three insights that I take away from this when you read this is, first of all, listen, you can spend your whole life being religious without any power. I mean, this man, look at this. This man was laid, the Bible says in verse 2, each day at the temple gate. Now, they put him there because he knew every single day there were going to be people walking by him. And when they went into the temple, he was thinking this is a good location because the rabbis taught them that there were three pillars of religion. One was the Torah, the law. One was worship. And the other was showing kindness or giving charity. So he's thinking, as these folks would walk by the place he's sitting, that they're going to be prime candidates. Because they're going in for the religious service and they're thinking, oh man, here's this poor guy. He's helpless, he's hopeless. You know what? I'm doing pretty well for myself. So I'm going to give him some leftover change. And that was his existence, day in and day out. Can you imagine? The hopelessness, the helplessness. I mean, he couldn't even get there on his own to beg. They had to carry him there day in and day out. You know what I find interesting is this man knew without a shadow of doubt that he was lame. He knew he had no power on his own. He knew he was helpless. He knew he was hopeless. He knew he was powerless. This man knew he was lame. The question I've always had when I read this is, I wonder if everybody walking by him that day realized how lame they really were too. Could you see, every single one of us are lame. Oh, you might not be lame physically, but we're all lame spiritually. The Bible teaches us that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The Bible teaches us that we can't do this life in Christ in our own strength. You see, the reality is this, is every single person walking by him that day, they probably thought they were doing okay. They were just checking the religious box, but down deep, each and every one of them was just as lame in their spirit as he was in his legs. You see, you can be religious, but not have any power. You could spend your whole life checking the church box. You could spend your whole life reciting hymns. But loved ones, the question is this. In Asbury, and listen, that's something. There's folks there that I know that are going there to study that right now. And here's the thing, listen, we can't just conjure up revival in our own strength. You know that, right? You might could get emotional, you might could try to manipulate it, but the reality is this, is what I've read. This is what gets my attention, what's happening in Asbury. For one thing, I read that this past week, the school actually said, you know what? We actually do not want stuff posted. We actually don't want videos taking place. They're trying to deal with the sensation right now. I was reading that cars have been lined up for miles. Parents, who can blame the parents? We got some parents here today. Who could blame you for wanting to not show up and see revival taking place at your kid's college? This is what got my attention. It said this. It said that what happened, and this came from the students writing in their student newspaper. It said, what has happened at Asbury is we were worshiping and praising the Lord Jesus, and much began to be made of Jesus Christ, his majesty, his glory, the power of his name. And they became overwhelmed with how much they needed him, and they became overwhelmed with the conviction of that they can't do this life in their own strength, in their own power. And it just humbled them. And they just began to cry out and confess their sinfulness and their need. And they just began to humble themselves before the Lord. And they just kept making much of the glory of Christ. Loved ones, that actually is revival. That actually is revival. When we begin to realize that it's not about us just trying to be religious because religion actually doesn't have any power in and of itself. Religion is just obligation. Religion is just going to be a form of devotion if it's devoid of the power. We really are hopeless. We're helpless. We can't live the Christian life in our own strength. We were just singing and we were just reminded of the scripture of how Christ lives in and through us. You don't have to do this on your own. You know, I think the place we've got to come back to as the church is realizing that we're powerless if left to our own resources. Here's the problem for the 21st century church, particularly in most of the United States. And they don't have this issue in communist China as much. Here's the problem for us. We have this. Now, I'll tell you what. 20 years... right, as a church pastor? No, you just need to, and I think y'all later on a few months, maybe be later in the fall, y'all going to take time as a church. You're going to celebrate and rejoice. And I was talking to some of the folks that helped start this church after the first service, and it is obviously for his glory, and it's amazing to see what God has done. You see, that's exactly where we got to stay. Because you see, if we're not careful as the church, what we'll begin to do is, you know what, we've got resources, We've got lights, we've got instruments, we've got a good location, and we begin to think we've got the stuff. Loved ones, the church in the first century, politics wasn't on their side. The authorities weren't on their side. And that's why today, I rejoice to have met so many students from Tech today. I think about students. We stayed over towards Radford last night. I think about students at Radford. I think about the people that live and work in Blacksburg, Christiansburg, the New River Valley. I think about how the reality is this, is you all know down deep, that for the New River Valley to experience revival and spiritual awakening, it's going to take believing that there's power in the name of Jesus. Amen. We can't do this in our own strength. And you would have thought that we'd have learned this lesson a couple years ago. I can remember the Sunday I was preaching a revival series in far Southwest Virginia. And what was happening in Fairfax County and down in Hampton Roads was there was this virus happening, and it was spreading. And it was right before, the Monday to follow was when the authorities got up and said, "We're shutting her down." And you remember that day. You probably remember where you were. I can remember being in the grocery store and my wife calling me saying, "Listen, so-and-so's just told me they're running out of toilet paper. You need to grab some before you come home." And I remember I said, "Jennifer, hon, listen, we live in the United States of America. We do not run out of toilet paper in the United States." Until I turned around and walked down the aisle and was like, and then when I got home and I began to see her take paper. Loved ones, here's the thing. I've prayed the past couple years that the church of the Lord would not waste a good crisis. That we would realize, oh, we might be religious, but listen, we can't do this in our own power. So you come to the lesson here. You come to the punch of the scripture, verse 6. But Peter said, "I don't have silver or gold, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk." You see, here's what the Bible's teaching you. The Bible teaches us that there's power in the name of Jesus. And just look at his name. Jesus Christ of Nazareth. There are places in this world where they've never even heard the name of Jesus. Would you just say his name? Say it. Jesus. Just say it again. Jesus. It means he's the Savior. Remember Matthew chapter 1? "She'll bear a son and you shall call his name," what? "Jesus." Why? "For he will save his people from their sins." There's power in the name of Jesus to save us from our sins. He's Jesus Christ. Christ, he's the anointed one. He's commissioned by God the Father to save us. Colossians 1:20 says, "For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in earth, making peace by the blood of his cross." He's Jesus Christ. But then he says this, he's Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He doesn't say Jesus Christ of Jerusalem. He doesn't say Jesus Christ of Bethlehem. I've been to Jerusalem. Jerusalem is a magnificent city, an amazing historic city to visit. But I can remember when I was there, I was thinking, well, are we going to go over to Nazareth? And I was like, we don't need to see Nazareth. Nazareth is just an ordinary little place. And so whenever I read this, that he's Jesus Christ of Nazareth, and I know that's where Jesus was raised. But you know, Jesus was raised in the carpenter shop. Jesus was raised in ordinary town, ordinary place. And it always reminds me that Jesus Christ came not just for the capitals, not just for the rich, not just for the educated. Jesus Christ came for every single one of us. Jesus Christ, his power can change lives. There's power in the name of Jesus. When you look at what happens here, of course, this man's life has changed. He goes from not walking to leaping and jumping and praising God. The authorities and folks begin to want to know. They have some questions. And folks are going to have questions when they see lives changed. And so they begin to give some explanation, and they begin to explain that there's power in the name of Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus to make you well. In Acts chapter 4, verse 10, they say, "By the name of Jesus, this man is standing before you well." Jesus Christ has the power to make you well. He has the power to make your loved ones well. He has the power to make your classmates well. He has the power to make your coworkers well. You know, Jesus Christ is the only one who has the power to make the people of this world well. He also has the power. There's power in the name of Jesus to get us into heaven. Over in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, when they're explaining this, they say, "Nor is there salvation in any other name, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Only through the power of Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus to produce answered prayer. At the end of Acts chapter 4, you see the church get together and they're catching flack from the authorities. But what do? They gather together and they, with boldness, the Bible says, they pray in Jesus' name. And I just wonder what would happen as followers of Christ, we just began to once again just boldly, just boldly come before the Lord and say, I want to pray for this loved one who is lost. I want to pray for revival at my school. I want to pray for revival in my neighborhood. I want to pray for spiritual awakening. You know, the past couple years, I've actually had moments where I thought, Lord, I guess I will never see another revival. I guess this world is too far gone for spiritual awakening. The Lord has convicted me lately to say, Brian, you do believe there's power in the name of Jesus, don't you, son? And I was driving to preach at First Baptist Church of Woodbridge in Northern Virginia. And I happened to have on the radio, because it was super early on Sunday morning, and Greg Laurie was on there. He's got a movie that I think is out in some theaters now about the Jesus Revolution. And he came to Christ. He trusted Christ in what they now call the Jesus Revolution. It took place right around 1970 to 71, 72, 73. And when everything was going on, so much turmoil, so much heartache, so much division was taking place in the United States, even so much impact in communities like this one, where colleges were located, you began to see a movement, and it really was taking place amongst young people. And they coined it the Jesus Revolution. And what had happened is 3 years before, this movement just began to sweep amongst folks. I think it was Time Magazine had basically published a headline that said, God is dead. 3 years later, Time Magazine, the cover was about the Jesus Revolution. Loved ones, today I want to ask us to remember there's power in the name of Jesus. See, if we're not careful, we'll begin to trust in other things. It's kind of like this story from church history about one of the Christian saints, Thomas Aquinas. Thomas Aquinas was visiting Rome during one of the high periods of the Roman church, and he was visiting Rome, and it was either the Pope or a cardinal. I've read two different accounts that, well, one of these leaders was walking around, and they walked past a beggar. And the religious church leader reached in his pocket, and he tossed the beggar a gold coin. And when they went into the Vatican treasuries, he took his hand and he said, Thomas, I want you to look at this. And he took his hand and he kind of brushed it through a chest full of gold and silver. And he looked at Thomas and he said, Thomas, no longer does the church have to say silver and gold have we none. And Thomas looked at him and he said, yes, but sir, no longer can the church say rise up and walk. Today, one message, really one central point the Bible teaches, and this is it, there's power in the name of Jesus. Would you say that with me? There's power in the name of Jesus. But here's what it brings us to. Here's what it brings us to. Do we have faith in that power of Jesus? Will we have faith in the power of Jesus Christ? Well, what you see here in this text is Peter and John. They had faith. They actually, verse 7 says, then taking him by the right hand, he raised him up. They had faith. They reached out to him. You know, God calls us to reach out to people in Jesus' name. They reach out to him. They take him by the right hand. They raise him up. And the Bible says, at once his feet and ankles became strong. And then look at what happened. So he jumped up and started to walk. And he entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. They reach out, believing there's power in the name of Jesus. This man's life is changed because he believes there's power in the name of Jesus. He becomes a worshiper. He becomes a witness. And he really becomes a wonder to everybody else gathered around there. This man put his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And where's our faith today? I mean, are we ready to say, Lord Jesus, in your name, I pray for so-and-so. In your name, I ask for you to work in and through me. Whatever your career is, whatever your aspiration is, whatever your major is, believe this today. There's power in the name of Jesus to work in and through us. So a few reactions. One is I just want to encourage you to pray for boldness. Pray for boldness. to see the person. Don't just see people, see the person. They saw this particular person and they reached out to him. You know, it's got to start with someone. It's got to start somewhere. It might could start with you. It might could start here. You have to, and this probably sounds obvious, but you have to believe, I have to believe Jesus actually can save people. I still have, not just easy cases, it may seem, not that I even think there would be, but I'm talking about folks that maybe you've shared with or you've prayed for until you're just kind of blue in the face. The Lord has convicted me, Brian, you can't stop praying for them. You got to believe Jesus saves, and then we've got to share the gospel. We've just got to be prayed up and sharing his good news, realizing and never forgetting that we have faith that there's power in the name of Jesus. That's what took place here. Do you have faith that there's power in the name of Jesus? Now, I was telling the first service, I was kind of nervous about recalling this episode, but it's because I know this is a very painful moment in this community's history. But on April 16, 2007, you all know what happened. 32 killed, 17 others wounded. I was in Louisville, Kentucky that day. I pastored a lot of state troopers in Virginia, so I reached out to one of our church members who was head of Virginia State Police for Central Virginia. He didn't answer, but he called me back. And I reached out to him because he also served in this role where he was kind of the chaplain the Virginia State Police would send in to major emergencies. And we were just trying to figure out what in the world's going on. We had students here, and I remember he called me back. He said, Pastor, I was dispatched by the superintendent of state police. I got from Richmond to Blacksburg in 90 minutes. Do not try that. He said, I'm sitting in the room right now. He says, I'm sitting in the room. And he described, I won't go into it, he described a little bit of the scene. He said, I need you to pray for him because in a moment, I'm going to walk out of this room and I'm going to walk into another room where there's a bunch of parents that have been brought together. And it's my assignment to tell them that their child's not going to walk out of that room. This guy played bass at our church every Sunday. And I think, Pastor, I remember I said, well, see, let me just say a quick prayer for you, bro. He would later tell me, he said, I walked into that room, and he said, Pastor, I didn't know what to do. I know I serve Virginia State Police, but that day I was just praying, God, help me just to be an ambassador for you, Lord Jesus. And he said, I remember I would look at people, maybe they were of a different background, different faith, different religion, even from a different country. And he said, I just began to do what only, I just said, Lord, help me. Lord Jesus, I need your power and strength. I can't do this on my own. He said, I just began to look at me and say, I would just say, ma'am, I'm a Christian. If it would be all right, I'd like to pray for you. And I want to pray for you in Jesus' name. And he said, Pastor, the Lord gave me opportunity to do that. See, he knew he couldn't do that, he couldn't do what he had to do that day in his own strength, his own power. He knew he had to depend upon the power of Jesus that day. But loved ones, that's where we need to live. Every day is depending upon the power of Jesus. This lame man had spent every waking moment begging. Begging for people's leftover change. But on this day, because two disciples of Christ believed there was power in the name of Jesus, he got changed that day he had never dreamt of. For us just to magnify his name, for you and me just to take a few moments and to ponder the greatness and the majesty and the power of the name of Jesus, all right? So let's just stand our feet. I invite you to bow your heads with me. I want us to be prayerful over these next few moments. And maybe there's someone that comes to your mind that you just need to pray for because they need Jesus to change their life. Maybe there's a situation, and you may right now, and I know we're going to have folks, church always has folks in the to the rear and the back there where you can go and pray. If you'd like to talk with someone about having a personal relationship with Lord Jesus Christ, don't leave here today without doing that. But also know, perhaps today you want to just, maybe you just want to come and you just want to pray. Maybe make this a prayer altar. I know y'all going to come back tonight and have and begin renewal services. But I want to invite you just right where you are right now, heads bowed and eyes closed. I want to ask you just to think on the name of Jesus. I made a little list of names in Scripture reminding us that Jesus is Lord, and I've just kind of alphabetized them A to Z. In the next few moments, and as a moment of worship, just listen to who He is. Ponder the name of Jesus. He is Ancient of Days. He is Alpha and Omega. He is your advocate. He is author. He is Almighty. He is bright morning star. He is bread of life. He is chief cornerstone. He's champion of salvation. He's the chief shepherd. He's the day spring from on high. He's the door to the sheepfold. He's the deliverer from darkness. Say Jesus. Would you say that? Say Jesus. He's Emmanuel. He's El Shaddai. He's Elohim. He's finisher of our faith. He's the first and the last. He's friend of sinners. He's forerunner. He's Jesus. He's the great high priest. He's the good shepherd. He's God. He's great physician. He's head of the church. He's holy one. He's the hiding place. He's the hope of glory. Say Jesus. Jesus. He's image of God. He's intercessor. He's immortal. He's invisible. He's judge. He's Jehovah. He's King of Kings. He's King of Glory. He's Kinsman Redeemer. He's Keeper of the Keys. He's Jesus. He's Lord of all. He's Lamb of God. He's Light of the World. He's Lion of Judah. He's Living Water. He's Messiah, Most High, Maker, Man of Sorrows. He's Master. He's Narrow Way. He's Nebuchadnezzar's fourth man in the fire. He's the only begotten Son. He's Offering once and for all. He's Prince of Peace, Power of God. His name is Jesus. He's the quieter of storms. He's the rose of Sharon. He's the rock of salvation. He's the root of Jesse. He's resurrection and life. He's Son of God, Son of Man, servant, Shiloh, Savior, strength, song, and shield. He's teacher. He's true vine. He's the truth. He's unction from the Holy One. He's Jesus. He's victor. He's virgin born. He's the veil splitter. He's word of life, witness, wonderful counselor, warrior, wisdom. Now, X was tough. I just went with exempt from death forevermore. Amen. And He's yes and amen. He's Yahweh. He is Zion's stone. Jesus is Lord. Would you say that? Jesus is Lord. Father, they've been saying Jesus is Lord as your church since the first century. And Father, I pray right now in the 21st century that once again we will believe, we'll have faith that there's power in your name, Jesus. We just won't be religious. We'll believe that there's power in the name of Jesus, that we will trust you, cry out for your power, and we'll pray with boldness. But Lord, may it start with us just magnifying your name, Jesus. Fill us with your Spirit. Jesus, be praised in this place today. There's power in the name of Jesus. Say it with me, church. Jesus. Let's worship.
We're so glad you found this message today. You can find more resources, including previous podcasts, at northstarfamily.org. Thanks again for listening, and we hope to see you next time at North Star Church.